Good morning. You might be surprised to see me up here not just making an announcement, but actually delivering the message today. But I'm hoping today will be maybe not quite as much as what you think of as a sermon, but a testament to the way that God is faithful and is moving in our lives. I've already seen God going ahead of me today. The Sunday school time where people were sharing already started to develop some of these themes of God's faithfulness. And Rebecca, when you were talking about looking back on your life and seeing God's faithfulness, that's definitely been true for me as well. So I believe God is preparing this message, and I'm excited to see where it takes us. Another thing that I hope to focus on is the way that God's strength is sometimes revealed through vulnerabilities. That's where David and Goliath, this story, comes from and blends with my personal story and what got us here. A few months ago was a sharing Sunday, and I talked about my journey with infertility. After that, I felt very affirmed by many of you, encouraging and thanking me for my vulnerability, and that you felt encouraged by me sharing so honestly. And that was kind of surprising for me. I wasn't really expecting that. A few weeks after that, Pastor Sarah asked if I would consider preaching. And I didn't really know what I would talk about yet, but I was pretty quick to say yes and knew that I would kind of figure it out. I had her send me some dates and we could settle the schedule. And she reached out asking if I could do this Sunday, June 23rd. I had some other things going on. I was supposed to do Sunday school and nursery, but people kind of stepped up so that I could take this time. And as soon as she sent me the email with the lectionary text, I knew that this was why I was supposed to preach this Sunday. The sermon series is titled God Is, and that has been a significant part of my faith journey. God is faithful, and that has been my mantra since college. In college, I heard God's voice for the first time when I was questioning the institution of religion. God's voice pretty clearly came to me and just said, God is faithful. And to hear those specific words, they've come back at other key times in my life, but this was the first time that really turned me towards God and towards the church, and a phrase that continues to bring me back. Today's lectionary scripture is another way that I have seen God working ahead of me to prepare this sermon. I recently watched a TED Talk where Malcolm Gladwell discusses his book, David and Goliath. And when Sarah gave me the date and the lectionary passage, I was surprised to see that the story was of David and Goliath. I was already kind of breaking down this story in my mind and trying to understand it, so it made it much less intimidating to try to preach about. In that talk and in his book by the same name, Gladwell contextualizes the story of David and Goliath, and I hope to share some of his thoughts with you today. I definitely recommend looking up the full talk or reading the book. It goes into a lot more clarity than I'll be able to get into today. My prayer is that each person hearing the story and pieces of my story will hear God speak into areas of your life where you feel vulnerable and empower you to share these vulnerabilities to help further God's work in the world. We just heard Ron and Welby read a familiar story of David and Goliath. Some of the insights that I've learned from Gladwell changed the meaning of the story as we know it. A couple key points of what he shares. During warfare, during this time period, there were kind of three main types of infantry: the cavalry, the heavy infantry, which would have been the foot soldiers like Goliath, and artillery, which were people who threw, using slings or stones, threw rocks. One common practice for settling a battle when there was a stalemate, as in the Philistines and the Israelites in this story, when no one wants to descend into the valley because they'll be vulnerable, was called single combat. And that's where two cavalry members or foot soldiers go in the middle and duel it out. The team with the winner of the duel is the winner of the battle. And this was meant to limit the number of fatalities. It seems in this story, the Philistines and the Israelites have agreed to single combat. That's why Goliath goes down into the valley by himself. The Philistines chose Goliath as their representative. Goliath was a giant, an intimidating opponent for single combat. Based on the physical descriptions of Goliath, Gladwell and others think that Goliath likely suffered from something called acromegaly, which is a medical condition that affects the pituitary gland and leads to increased growth hormones. A major side effect of acromegaly is known to be blurred or double vision. As David comes down off the mountain to fight Goliath, the assumption from both the Philistine and the Israelites is that the fight will be single hand-to-hand combat. However, David surprises Goliath by using a different military strategy. David's combat style is artillery. He uses the sling, launching stones from far away to attack his target, in this case, Goliath. David had extensive experience as a slinger in his work as a shepherd and was likely very accurate. River, this part's for you. There's some research that shows that the stone coming out of David's sling was going as fast as an MLB pitcher can throw the ball, or maybe even our own Evan Burt. Another speculation is that if you run the ballistics on the rock coming from David's sling, it's similar to the ballistics on a 45-millimeter handgun. So this was not a light throw. Slingers at this time were known to be incredibly accurate. So although Goliath's size would have been a huge asset in hand-to-hand combat, it left Goliath vulnerable when fighting David because his vision was blurred and the style of combat that he was expecting was not the style of combat that David fought. Based on these facts, the story of David as the underdog gets turned upside down. Who actually had the advantage in this combat? Malcolm Gladwell summarizes the lessons learned from this story. Sometimes our apparent strengths are actually our weaknesses, and our perceived weakness is actually our greatest strength. So, how do we apply this Bible story and the teaching to our lives? Maybe we relate to it differently than we have in the past. For me, this story makes me reevaluate my personal strengths and my weaknesses. You may see yourself as others saw David, an unlikely messenger for God's kingdom. But a vulnerability that you share might be the story that God uses to support someone in a way that you weren't expecting. Evangelism doesn't have to be what we think of or picture when we hear the word. It doesn't have to be a sermon on the street corner or something profound. It can be coffee with a friend, confiding in a coworker, or speaking honestly with a family member. God is faithful and involved in our lives through the Holy Spirit. Take time to listen to the Spirit, share honestly with God and others. Conversely, Gladwell encourages us to see the other side. Perceived power and obstacles that might seem to have an obvious outcome might not be what they seem. How can we as a church bring witness to a counterculture? As I was writing the sermon, the first part came pretty easily to me, and I was feeling pretty content with it. I had kind of put it away midweek. And then Friday night, I laid awake with a little bit of a nagging feeling. And I couldn't quite hear God speaking clearly, but I was getting the message that my thoughts were kind of jumbling around and I wasn't really sure what I was hearing. And by Saturday morning, I heard God kind of saying, be more vulnerable, go deeper. So I spent Saturday morning trying to create space for God to speak more clearly. I don't really like procrastination and I was feeling eager to just be done with this and get to the root of what God was trying to tell us. I think Kevin could tell I was discontent and I was starting to stress about it, and I even joked around with Marcus to see if he had any input on what my sermon was missing, and he politely declined to give comment. So I came back to the scripture again, and this time the part that stood out to me is near the ending, that the whole earth will know there's an extraordinary God, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of the sword or spear. The battle belongs to God. This reminds me of another interview with Malcolm Gladwell, where he talks about the power in the weapons of the Spirit. He explains that God's strength is revealed in a softer form of power than our typical understanding of worldly power, and that this was manifested in Jesus' life on earth. Examples he gives of soft power are determination, courage, perseverance, forgiveness, and faith. He cites Mennonites as an example of a denomination that takes Jesus' instructions on forgiveness seriously and attributes this trait to our historical experience of persecution. I believe that this understanding of the weapons of the Spirit brings us closer to God's message for us today. Taking a leap of faith, trusting in an unexplainable God, being vulnerable with others, persevering through periods of adversity, is the difficult work of the church. It's a work that draws people into community and towards God. I've seen the community at Zion do this well. I'm thankful over the last few years that we have been able to lean into rebuilding healthy relationships that are honest, caring, and life-giving. I have also experienced seasons where we were not as healthy. I remember a few years ago when the church and church meetings were painful, and there was not a lot of focus on grace, forgiveness, or transformation. We were not building trust, and I think many of us here experienced pain in that season. I believe God is trying to speak hope and affirmation of our congregation's healing progress through my message today. I see many of you using the weapons of the Spirit in your daily lives to bring witness to God's faithfulness. I have grown to love this church family. I hope we can continue to find ways to be honest and vulnerable together, that these relationships will be a meaningful witness that deepens our trust in an unexplainable God, that we can be reminders to each other of God's faithfulness through our shared lives. Thank you for the ways you have already enriched my faith journey and the ways I know you'll continue to do so in the future.